Hey, it's good to be here. I think I've been here once before, maybe twice. It's a while. I haven't spoke now. And think of our connection. I may remember Annalise, the crazy South African. And just sometimes connections just create friendships and create alliances and they last for a lifetime. Some of them just last for a season, but we're thankful to just be connected, and we're close together. So, and I'm grateful that you would give me freedom, sort of. We'll see. You know, it's scary, you know, when a preacher comes into your congregation. It's like, what am I going to have to clean up after? But it's all good. But we're glad to be here. Are you going to say anything today? This is my amazing wife, 42 years, 3 kids, 9 grandkids. So we just have fun together. I always tell everybody that we're just fun. Sometimes she likes to ride with me, sometimes she doesn't. But it's good. It's good to be here. Good to see all your smiling faces. And know that God loves you. You're His favorite. You're His A-team, just so you know. I'm His most favorite, but just the way it works. But you are blessed, and sometimes we don't realize how blessed we are and how much God really loves us. And I think too many people in the world, in the Christian world, question God. I think the enemy sneaks in there just like he did in the garden. It's like, did God really say? I mean, I thought I read it and I heard the pastor say it, but it doesn't seem to be going the way it's supposed to. And we're asking God to maybe change situation, circumstance. And I think of 3 Hebrew boys who decide they're going to stand up for God. And King Nebuchadnezzar said, you're going to have to bow or I'm throwing you in the fire. And if they were like today's, they weren't even saved, just so you know. Jesus hadn't even gone to the cross yet. They held faith, didn't they? Yeah. And I think they were praying like, God, could you just put the fire out? Could there be a big good rainstorm or something? Could you change Nebuchadnezzar's mind? Could you just turn my circumstance around so I wouldn't have to go through this? And I think sometimes that's the church today. Without realizing, you know, we overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. But we forget the rest of the verse. Loving not our lives even unto death. I'm His. Live or die, I'm the Lord's. I can't lose. I'm a winner, period. Forever. I can't die. I'm just going to live on the other side. Which is okay. Amen? It's a good thing. And so when we live with that sense that we're His, doesn't matter. And they found out, because 2 soldiers threw them in the fire, died throwing them in the fire. I wonder how they got in. You know, as the soldiers go to throw them in, they die. Here's 3 Hebrew guys standing in front of the gate of the door of the furnace. I wonder how they got in there. I think maybe an angel came along and went, oops, sorry. And Nebuchadnezzar had an awakening. Did we send 3 guys in there? Because there's a 4th guy in there. And somehow he had a revelation. Looks like the Son of Man. Wow. What a revelation. Didn't wake him up totally. He had to eat grass for 7 years after. But it says they came out without any smell of smoke. You know, whatever you're going through today, you could be praying for God to change it, make it go away, don't have to do this, or you can trust God that he's with you, in you, and he's actually God of the fire. He's God of the darkness. He's just God, period, no matter what you're going through. And we can trust him. Are you willing to just put all your chips across the table and say, God, I'm all in. And instead of asking God why, we probably should ask God, what do we do now? What's your plan? Because I know your plan's good. It's not for harm. It's bring me to an expected end. Amen. We get to reign in righteousness in this life. So that's the goodness of God. So sometimes we just forget who we are. We forget whose we are. And I just think God wants to remind us sometimes. Because we let life speak louder than truth. And it begins to dictate to us. And we can get disturbed and just chatter too much. And question God. When we should be saying, God, who am I to question you? You know exactly what I'm going through. You are not surprised. And you have a plan. So we just trust him. Amen? That's just his heart. So let's go to Galatians chapter 1. We'll make it legal today. I gotta find my specs. And it doesn't happen because you get older. Just so you know. It just happens. Because power is in the mouth of the tongue, right? So we're not going to give any power to that because we get older, stuff happens. Are you in Galatians? Chapter 1. And I'm just going to read it from the New Living Translation. I like them all. Some of them say it a little different that brings it out. But you know, verse 11 of Galatians chapter 1. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. Boy, do we like to reason. Reason is the death of faith, just so you know. Mark chapter 8, Jesus is sharing with his disciples as they get in the boat to go across. And there, he says, you know, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Herod. And they're like, oh man, we only bought one loaf of bread. How do you know? We're in trouble, right? And he's not talking about that they only had one loaf of bread. And he said, why do you reason among yourselves? Why do you reason? Right? Living of Pharisees, like, we just like get stuck on religious things, on theology, things that confuse us and we don't fully understand, and all of a sudden we start to make cases and we're worried about making stance because, you know, the Pharisees sometimes didn't want to stone Jesus because they're afraid of what the people thought. And Herod, the political rules today, doesn't it? And so sometimes we're worried about what the people think and how we're going to do things. But he said, don't you remember when there was 4,000 people? You know, and we fed them with 7 loaves. And do you remember how many baskets we picked up? They're like, 7. And the 5,000? Oh, it was only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He used less to feed more. So why do you reason among yourselves? You have no right to think from a place of defeat or the impossible. It's now become possible because Christ is in you. That's the heart of God. And so Paul's saying, like, let's not fall into human reasoning. Let's trust the Spirit of God on the inside of us to awaken us, to make it alive. Think of Peter when Jesus said to them, "Who do men say that I am?" He said, "Well, some say this, some say that. You know, I heard this and I heard that." You know, we got YouTube, we got Google, we got all kinds of messages going out there. But the real answer is, who do you say that I am? That's what's going to count when you stand before him. And Peter piped up and says, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood didn't reveal yet. You didn't study it enough to figure it all out and get, you know, the bloodline through and the red scarlet thread. And there was an awakening in your spirit. Amen. God came alive in you and you just knew he's real and he loves you and he changed you and things are different." Amen. That's just the heart of God. Five verses later, in the midst of those five verses, Jesus says, but the Son of Man's going to suffer some things, going to be crucified, 3 days, going to rise again. And Peter's like, "Psst, Jesus, come over here. That is a bad idea." We got a good thing going right now, and you're here, and you're going to change things, and man, that would just be dumb. And Jesus said, "Peter," and he looks at the rest of them, he says, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for you don't think the thoughts of God, but the thoughts of men." See how reason gets in there and just messes stuff up? Even when we pray, we've reasoned it through our mind and we've gone through scenarios and we're praying how God should do it, when he should do it, how he should do it, where he should do it, whom he should use to do it. And we pray dumb prayers that he can't even answer. Like, "Lord, would you just be with us today?" Like, "I don't know where I'm going to go. I thought I gave you my word. My word's my bond. If I said it, will I not do it?" But I don't know if we believe that. Reason gets in there. He says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the end. In fact, I'm living on the inside of you." Amen. So sometimes we just pray prayers and God can't answer. And we're like, "God, how come you didn't answer that?" It's like, give me when I can answer. Right? Sometimes we pray from a place of fear. Not a good place to answer. So reason. Let's not be people that just try to step into reason. Let's trust the Lord. Let him help us walk through it. Verse 12. "I received my message from no human source. No one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ." You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion? How I violently persecuted God's church? I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. You know, he talks in Philippians a little bit more on that. How he would maybe have more advantage than anybody else. And sometimes we're looking for advantage. Had people say, "Well, you know, my lineage is to the Hebrews, and I'm from the tribe of Benjamin." It's like, I'm not sure if that really matters if you don't know Jesus. The advantage is you probably should be in on it a little bit more than the rest of us and say yes first. But sometimes we rely on our, I've been going to church for 30 years. I even brought cookies to the board meeting. I played the piano. I did children's church. It's like, that's great. Doesn't count. Do you know him? Do you know him? Does he know you? Right? That's the important part. And so sometimes we have some things that we rely on to get us on the inside, but he's already got you on the inside. Verse 15. "But even before I was born, God chose me. He's not looking at your track record and how you straighten your life out and doing all the right things. He chose you before you even showed up. Isn't that amazing? Sometimes we, you know, in the church where we're waiting for people to, you know, get all their ducks in a row. Doesn't always happen, does it? Especially when they get, I don't know, slip up and it's like, what are you doing? He's waiting for you to give your heart to Jesus and he'll work it out. You know, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12 says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And so sometimes we just put people in fear of, I got to make sure I do all the right things, otherwise God's not going to like me. We forget to read the next verse. How come we don't read the next verse? Let's keep it in context and trust the Word of God to teach us, right? But it is all the while God who's causing you both to will and to do His good pleasure. God works it in you. Amen? So sometimes we're like, and somebody said, like, we can't baptize them because, you know, they're still not doing all the right stuff. It's like, I thought he said repent and be baptized. He didn't say repent and then let's see if their life gets in line and get everything in order and then we'll do it because of what they did rather than what he did. So sometimes we just get it wrong. Like, let's get them fully into Christ and Christ into them and God will begin to change them. He just will. All of you changed. Amen. Sometimes you had some anxiety levels. You had some maybe anger levels. And it's like the things that maybe pushed your buttons at work don't push you anymore. It's like, wow, 3 months ago, I would probably took his head off. Thank you, God. You're working on me. You're changing me. Amen. Just trusting him and asking him every day, God, I thank you that you're in me. Your presence in me. You're working on me. You're changing me. You called me. You've seen me who I was before. I went down the wrong trail. He didn't change his mind about me. Isn't that amazing? I like this saying, I think it's Bill Johnson that said it. It says, we need to learn how to honor people for who they are without stumbling over who they're not. Just need to. Did the father stumble over who Paul, at that time Saul of Tarsus, was not? Persecuting the church, trying to destroy it, tear it down. And he was in the zeal of God. He thought he was doing the right thing. And he had an encounter with God one day. Changed his life. And then I was actually chosen from birth to have Christ in me, the hope of glory. And when I just found out about it, he wasn't disturbed I was going down the wrong path. He's just like, you just need an encounter. Amen? And probably the encounter was during persecution when Stephen got stoned. And the church is praying. It's like, they weren't praying about Paul or Saul of Tarsus at that time. Like, God, he's a mess and you need to smack him and you need to just get rid of him. No, I think they were praying for him. God, he doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know he's chosen. He doesn't know he's called. He doesn't know that God loves him and there's a better way. And I think because the church was praying, he had an encounter. He had to make a choice in that encounter like the rest of us all do. But he thought he was going down the right trail. I think of Peter. You know, you're all going to leave me. No, not me. Not me. I'm going to stick with you. I even die with you. Ah, Peter. You got the right heart, but you don't know. You're going to deny me. Just are. And on the third time when he denied him, he looked at Jesus, the scripture tells us, and his heart broke. Man, how many times we've been there. Done something that we knew, we just outside of our value. God, I can't believe it. And the enemy would like to use that to condemn you, shame you, guilt you, to say that you're not worthy. You should just keep going down the bad trail because there's no hope for you to come back. Or we could say that's the Holy Spirit saying, you're worth more. I'm calling you up, man. Come on. Right? Sometimes we just forget. He's calling us up. He's not calling us out. And there's people walking throughout this street that they're called of God from before they were born. Every one of them. They just don't know it yet. Amen? And they're on the wrong trail. They just need an encounter. Your boss. Maybe your spouse. Maybe your kids. And sometimes we just pray about them. About how bad they are. How mean they are. How off track they are. Whether we should be praying for them. God, they just don't know you. They don't know what you've done for them. They don't know what you have entailed for them. Help them to find you. Just a change of heart for us. Because when Peter showed up on the shore with Jesus, and he's like, man, he's still broken. He's going to get punished. He's going to get sidelined at least for 3 years till he gets his life back in order and straightened out and get all his ducks in order again. And did Jesus do that? No. He said, do you love me, Peter? I do. Feed my sheep. You're going to put me back in leadership? Really? What I did? It's like, I haven't changed my mind about you. If I can get in there, if you let me in, you'll be amazing. That's just the heart of God. And so we just need to see that from people around us that he's got a heart and he's got a call for us. I think of Gideon. You know, he threshing grain, just trying to itch out a life and just get through life and hope, you know, I'm trying to be good. Just trying to be helpful, just trying to hold my family together, and I'm thrashing out grain in the wine press. You know, sometimes we're trying to get the bread of life just so that we can get through when you need maybe the wine, a little bit of the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, when they got the Holy Ghost, those disciples, they quit doing this and they went, shoo. Just a good thing. You know, the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But you need both. Right? You need the Spirit of the Word just to grab a hold of you and come alive in you. And know that you are worth more. And God has a call in your life. And He lives on the inside of you. And there's nothing you can't do. That's just His heart. And Gideon didn't know that. He's just trying to squeeze by. And the angel of the Lord showed up and said, hey, mighty man of valor. It's like, what you talking about? I'm just a plumber. I'm just an electrician. I'm just a farmer. I'm just a truck driver. No, you just don't know who you are. I just see confusion going throughout the world today on people who don't know who they are. They don't know whose they are. They don't know what they carry. Even in the church, you got so much more. He says, I'll be with you. Go in this in your might. He didn't say go in God's might. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. You know what that means? Somebody else doesn't have any. Just so you know. Sometimes we empower a defeated foe. And he makes a mess of our life, or our town, or our workplace. We need to stop it. Right? And he says, go therefore. And he said, what? Preach the gospel. Oh, I'm not a preacher. Yeah, you are. You're an epistle written before men. You're preaching the gospel to people that you'll never reach. He's placed you throughout this city to touch lives. And to also heal the sick? Oh, I'm not one of those. And when you do heal him, it's like, well, I didn't do it. It's like, well, he didn't write the book that way. He said, you go heal the sick. Just like the feeding the 5,000. Yeah, guys, you should go feed them. It's like, he wants us to change our thinking. He wants to transform our minds to know that we're in Christ and he's in me and everything that he has, I have access to. And I can change the world. 12 men changed the world. Amen. And don't give up. Don't give up on Manning. You think of Jesus going up Golgotha. And he's packing the cross. And he's probably turning around and looking around like, Father, this is a bad idea. I'm done with it. Like, where are they? I healed their babies. I raised their dead. I fed them. Like, where? This is dumb. Let's stop this. And let's just change our plan. If Jesus didn't have that thought in his mind, we shouldn't. They might not get it at first. But keep living it. Keep trusting God. Keep shining. They'll get it. Amen. Just trust God. 12 men changed the world. 12 men had to change the way they thought. If Peter didn't have a change of thought, we wouldn't be here. You want me to go where? You know, I'm not supposed to be in the Corinthians, in the Gentiles' home. Like, we don't do that. I've never eaten anything unholy. But he showed up at Cornelius' house. And he didn't even do an altar call. Just so you know, while he was speaking, he said, this Jesus gives forgiveness of sins, and the Holy Ghost fell on them. I'm like, man, I like those altar calls. Get them, Lord. But when they heard forgiveness, life came, and they received it. They just received it. Changed their life forever. And so Peter had to have a change of mind to be there. Just did. And we're the result of that. Aren't you glad he changed mind? So sometimes we need to change our mind. We need to reason things. Oh, they're too hard. They don't deserve it. Let's not reason that. Let's change the way we think. Let's trust what God has put in us to carry. He's given us some stuff. He says that it pleased him, verse 16, to reveal his son. And there's another translation, the Passion says, to reveal his son in me, so that I would proclaim the good news to the Gentiles. Let's go to 2 Peter. What time are we done? Don't do that. I have the gift. Second Peter chapter 1. Verse 2. And I'm in the New King James. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us if we're good enough. Well, yours doesn't say that. Oh, what you got in the back there? As his divine power has given to just the pastors. Well, I didn't say that either. Who's it say? To all of us. Every one of you have been given this. Have been. Past tense. Means it's not going to be in the future when you are in the sweet by and by. Don't need it there. Need it here. And you carry it. He's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who's called us to his glory and virtue. Verse 4. By which we have been, past tense again. When did it happen? Before you were even born, actually. At the cross. 2,000 years ago. He distributed it. So when you showed up, you had everything you have need of. It's just kind of like when you take that seed and you plant it in the ground. Everything that is needed for that seed to produce is in the seed. You carry it when you showed up. Amen? That's how much God thinks about you. You are not lacking for anything. You might feel like it. Circumstances might tell you it is. Your neighbors might think that. But you have to just say, no, I have everything I have need of. It says, by which he has given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. So you carry the very divine nature on the inside of you. It might not be showing up right at the moment. There might be some circumstances coming at you, and you have a choice to make. Are you going to reveal Jesus? Or are you going to reveal hurt, pain, disappointment, disgruntled? You know, if you squeeze an orange and you get apple juice, it's weird. It's just weird, right? So when life squeezes you and everything comes out but Jesus, that's weird. And we think, God, can you just remove the problem? No, I need to let you bring me out in the midst of every situation. You're praying for patience, guaranteed you're going to have opportunities to be patient. And a lady came in once, and she'd come to church for a little bit. And she sat in the back corner all by herself, early before anybody got in there. And we like to go around just like here and shake hands, get to know everybody, and how's your week? But she just kind of sat over there, and there's just something about her like, nobody's going near, which is not a good thing. And she, after the service, she says, Pastor, there's no love in this church. I said, do you love Jesus? She said, yeah. I said, well, when you came in, then love came in. Because if you're made in the image of God, and God is love, then love came in. You're looking for something that you're already carrying. And if you're waiting for circumstances to deal with you in a right way so that you're okay, you're not going to be okay. You're going to be at life's expense. The enemy's going to just throw you around like crazy until you decide, when life comes at me, Jesus comes out. Just how it works. And sometimes you don't realize what you have on the inside of you. You just don't know until some pressure comes. And you got some choices to dig a little deeper and trust him. And he puts you in places. We was going to a superstore one evening after Sunday night service because I needed some deodorant. When you pray for people and some of them fall over by the power of the Holy Ghost. I want it by the Holy Ghost, not by my smell. So it's about 9:30, 10 o'clock, and I'm going to Superstore on the way home because it's on my way home. And I'm going down the aisle looking at Old Spice or something. And this young gal, she's on his little two-step ladder, and she's stuck in the shelves. And I walk by, and she's like, should I go to the hospital? And I'm looking around, like, it's just me in the aisle. I said, you're talking to me? She's, yeah. I said, why do you think you should go to the hospital? She said, but I haven't this splitting headache for like 3 days. And I just don't know how to get rid of it. I said, well, I believe in Jesus and he loves to heal. Could I just pray for you? She's like, pray for me? I said, yeah. She said, okay. So said, can I put my hand on your shoulder? She's like, okay. And I just looked at her. Because sometimes, you know, we Christians, we get very spiritual. And we close our eyes and we try to get an articulate prayer that Jesus, you should really heal this person because they need it. And if they get healed, just think of all the people. We're reasoning again in our head why God should do something that he already wants to do. In fact, he's already done it. Amen? Isaiah says that he was bore the stripes and we are healed. Peter says, by his stripes ye were healed. Just so you know. So I just looked there and I says, Father, I just thank you for your love for this young lady. And I just speak to this headache, this pressure, to go in Jesus' name. Be healed. All he said. You ever notice when Jesus prayed for the sick? It didn't take him 4 days. He didn't pray to China and back. He wasn't trying to convince God. In fact, usually they're very short. Like, take up your bed and walk. Be healed. Just short. If we can just, by faith, knowing what we carry, the very divine nature of God, and that we're called of him, and Christ is in us, and so when we touch them, he touches them. And she's like, wow. I said, wow, what? The headache went. I said, that's amazing. See, God loves you. She's like, should I go to church now? I said, be a good idea. Because God wants you to just know him more. But you don't have to. Just the goodness of God, isn't that amazing? I had a renter. We have a couple of rental properties. And this young couple were coming, moving in to my place. And so we signed the deal and they're going to rent it. And she's like, I said, when, you know, you can have it early if you want, because there's nobody in it right at the moment. She's like, well, we'd like to, but my back is hurting so much, I don't think we can do it right away. I says, well, I could pray for you. She's like, you could do what? I said, I could just pray for you. Jesus loves you, and he loves to heal, so I could just pray for you. Well, I don't think so. Oh, you like pain? She says, no, I don't like pain. I said, well, I could just pray for you and the pain will go. She's like, well, how long will it take? I says, longer than it's taken us to talk about it. It won't take. We've talked about it longer than it'll take. She's like, really? And her fiancé says, just let him pray for you. So I said, she's okay. So I can put my hand on your back. Where's the pain? So she showed me where the pain is, put my hand on her back. And I just looked at her. And I says, Father, just speak to this spine and all the ligaments and everything that's going on, all the stress, all the anxiety, and I speak to the pain to go in Jesus' name. And she's like, well, it feels different. I said, well, do something you couldn't do before. So she bent over and put her hands on the ground. I can't do that. I says, you couldn't do that before? She said, no. I said, well, how's the pain? It's gone. I said, God loves you more than you know. And he's just revealed to you. And some people say, well, did you lead her to the Lord? I said, no, I gave her the Lord. I show up 2 days later, and they're packing the boxes in, and her mom's there helping her. And her mom comes up to her. She says, can you do for me what you did for my daughter? I said, absolutely. It's just the goodness of God. Know what you carry. You carry things in you. And you can do this. And it just helps you. It encourages you to know, God, you're so amazing. You're so amazing that you would love me so much. That you would use me. That you would fill my life. That I could be a light no matter where I go. Because God wants you to carry the kingdom. Because he's given you his divine nature. Why? Just so that you can feel better? So you can have a good life? Or so that you can expand the kingdom. in your sphere of life. He just wants you to know that you got the stuff. You got the goods. You just do. First time we went to Guatemala, we take a team down there every couple years. And we're there and we're just sharing the gospel. And we did a little project, but we do outreach and whatnot. And so the pastor that I met, he says, "Would you come with me?" He came and grabbed me, and I have a lady from Guatemala in our church, and so she came so she could translate for me, because I don't speak Espanol. And so we were there, and at a business, and this young couple, they have a business there, and does quite well, and he goes to church with the pastor, but his wife doesn't. His wife is from another religious sect, and she had problems, and she shared, like, "I got severe back pain. We have to lift lots of stuff, and I can't do it. And we've been married 5 years, and we don't have any children because I have cysts in my stomach, and I've had problems with my stomach all my life." She said, "My dad took me to a witch doctor when I was 5, and it didn't get any better. And 4 months ago, my priest took me to the witch doctor, and it's just getting worse, and I don't know what to do." I said, "Oh, well, Jesus is Lord. He's King. And he's not discouraged with you, but he loves you. So," I said, "let's just pray for you." And so we prayed for her back. And she's like, "The pain's gone." But she says, "There's some stirring going on in my stomach." I said, "Is that good? Or it's not painful?" She says, "It's just stirring. It's peaceful," she said, "almost." I said, "Oh, that's awesome. God loves you." I says, "Would you like to give your life to Jesus today?" So we give her life to Jesus and just kind of give her some wisdom, like, you know, when you go to the witch doctor, it's the wrong kingdom. It's the kingdom of darkness, and they can't help you. Jesus is the kingdom of light, and he's just healed you. Put your faith in him today." And so we went back 2 years later, and they came running up to me. They says, "We have some news for you." It's like, "What?" "We're pregnant." We went back 2 years after that. And they come running back up. "We're pregnant with number 2. And we went back last April. She says, "We're having number 3. When the doctor said she wouldn't have any. That's just the goodness of God. And she wasn't a believer before she got healed. Did you know nobody in Jesus' time was a Christian when they got healed? And so you might think, they're too bad of sinners. God won't heal them. You'd be surprised. Because he chose them before the foundation of the earth. Amen. And we just need to see them different. Instead of reasoning how they shouldn't have or receive, or, you know, God, you know, that wouldn't be great. Or sometimes we reason the fact that, God, you should do this because they really need it. And like, almost like you love them more than he does. And we shouldn't do that. But you carry things. You have the Spirit of God in you. And if you don't, you can have him today. Because he loves you. He's not waiting for you to get all your ducks in a row. Just open up your heart and say, "Holy Spirit, come. Baptize me. Fill me. Change me. Help me walk this out. Help me breathe this out. Help me shine in every situation. Instead of questioning you or questioning life or letting life dictate how I should operate or who I am because of what's going on. I'm who I am because of what he did." And that's the goodness of God. Took Saul of Tarsus going down the wrong trail to realize and encounter that he was not born for that. There's a lot of people in our country today They're going down the wrong trail. They just need an encounter. And it happens because of people like you and me. It's the only way it's going to happen. Amen? So, if you need prayer today, I'd be glad to pray with you, my wife and I. And I'm sure you got a team here that are hungry to release some fire. Just the way it is. Just how good he is. Sometimes you get stuck in crazy situations. We were praying for a lady. We went house to house in Guatemala, and this lady separated from her husband, and it was abusive, and she was just so angry. And we started to pray for her, and then she kind of hit the ground and started doing the funky chicken. It's like, oh boy, what do we do now, Lord? And so my wife and our translator were just kneeling with her, and I banging her head, and I just said, Lord, is she a captive or a prisoner? You know, Jesus come to set the captives free and release the prisoners. You know the difference? If you're in prison, it's probably because you've done something you shouldn't have. And if you're a captive, it's because somebody has duped you, lied to you, kidnapped you. And the enemy likes to do that too, doesn't he? He likes to take people captive. And they just felt the Lord say, she's a prisoner. So why? She won't forgive him. So I got down on my knees and I whispered in her ear, I says, you need to forgive him. And she's like, in no way. I says, I can't help you then. And just tears come down her eyes. And the ladies are praying and they're just like, you do it in faith. Trust God. He's bigger. And the moment she asked the Lord just say, I forgive him. She went calm, peaceful. Just the heart of God. He wants to set people free. He wants to love on them. He has a call in their life. They're here because he chose them to be here. And he wants them to be full of him. He wants you to be full of him. He doesn't want you to leave not full of him, not knowing that God loves you. And he wants to do some great things in your life. And he wants to work through you. So I bless you today and encourage you. Not the reason why, but God, what do we do now? What do we do as a body? What do I do in my workplace? What do I do in my home? Because you're in me. And nothing is impossible. Because he loves you. And he loves your town and your workplace. He just does. God so loved the world. Amen. So let's go after it.